Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Friends, it is Beat Air Force Week, and if you can't get excited about that, you must be dead, because this is going to be an awesome, awesome game. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. My name is Dano E. Cabeza, and I am the special guest host today, coming to you live out of coastal Connecticut. Jordan is in India. James is on a secret and deadly mission with the U.S. Navy, and I am joined today by Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Rob, man, how you been?
I am doing well. Looking forward to this game. You and I talked about this a little bit earlier. My gut is telling me this is going to be more like the 2020 version of Army Air Force rather than the 2021 version. I'll take either because they were both wins, but I think the 2020 version is probably more realistic based off of just the play that I've seen out of both teams. We'll dive into that a little bit later.
Interesting. All right. Well, we have a new sponsor. That sponsor is Buyer Barn. We had your brother from another mother, Dan Robinson, on last week talking about it. So if you missed that show, shame on you. Go listen to that show. Listen to our sponsor. Let him introduce yourself. But Rob, why don't you tell us a little bit about Buyer Barn?
As Dan mentioned, we've got BuyerBarn.com. They're our new sponsor here at Ask for Football. Buyer Barn was co-founded by class of 1997 graduate Dan Robinson. Dan ran a traditional co-op farm animal auction and realized that there are better ways to modernize farm sales and bring it into the 21st century. One of the things that he did notice was that a lot of the farmers that were participating in the co-op were either aging out or just didn't have anybody to kind of backfill their position in the community. So one of the things that Dan did was try to figure out a better way of doing business, which is hard to believe that we're in 2022 and somebody hasn't thought of this to this point. So Dan and his co-founder Dino have taken their experience in IT management and development and built the world's first farm-to-farm online auction and sales platform. Buyer Barn provides reduced health issues through reducing the animal-to-owner contact. On normal trips, it takes about 10 to 12 hours to auction pens, and anything can happen in that period of time. It reduces animal fraud through a buyer-seller rating system. They have fully integrated auction platform with secure payment, so you don't have to run around with pockets full of cash like Dan did when he went to go buy his goats. And then the convenience to buy and sell on your own time. So most farm auctions are long. They take time away from your day, and you have to leave your farm to go to the auction, whereas Buyer Barn will allow you to kind of do a little bit of both, and you can manage your account from your tractor. And you get better market pricing because you get a wider audience. So think of, you know, putting something up for sale on eBay versus doing it at a yard sale in your house. But the bottom line is Buyer Barn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America, and they are providing a special discount to military veterans and want to assist them in the growth of the family farm auction. Go to buyerbarn.com/military. That is buyerbarn.com/military, or you can just email them at info@buyerbarn.com. Again, they're helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football. We appreciate it. But I also think that like the farming community is going to grow because having your own resources is always a good thing. But I'll pass it back over to you.
Yo, listen, if you are listening to this show and you're a West Point graduate and in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I know a dude who works on a farm or who's interested in farming. You do understand that it's your responsibility to help another West Pointer spread the word about his business. I hope everyone listening to that understands this, right? That is how the West Point Network functions. And you guys, you gals, you are supposed to talk about the stuff that you find interesting. And if you don't find the world's first online farm animal auction interesting, like, I don't know what to tell you. That's a fascinating business. Anyway, yeah, so we got a little time this week. I figured we'd talk a little bit about what do you do on a weekend without Army football. So for me, it was my wife's birthday. We both took Friday off, drove her up to a winery, went out to dinner, then watched a ton of college football and even some pro football. We talked quite a bit about that, but let me just tell you, I watched the Giants and the Steelers, or the Giants and Seattle this past weekend. I know this isn't an NFL show, and Rob, I know you're not a huge NFL fan, but I'm not sure at what point I became a believer in quarterback Daniel Jones, formerly of Duke. but he's become so much better in the past season that it's actually frustrating. I want to hate Daniel Jones. I really, if you're a pro football player making that much money, I get to hate you. I'm sorry. That's just the way life is, right? You are the epitome of a public figure. But the truth is, the dude is playing so well that it's like one of the most fascinating stories in pro football right now. I also swam Friday and Saturday and lifted Sunday. It was nice to have that extra day so I didn't have to try to cram everything in. So, Rob, you, what'd you do?
Yeah, so we did a couple of trunk or treats, one at the church, one around the neighborhood. And again, it for me, when there's not college football on that I want to watch, I'm watching UFC. And like one of the weird things that they've been doing, they had a lot of early evening shows. So the prelims start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I got that block in the morning where I watch college game day, take a break, go do something with the fam in the afternoon, and then come back and watch fights until about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And this weekend, again, like UFC has the ability to put on some great fights. That's probably the reason why they are so able to dump and retain talent. So they get rid of somebody and they replace them with somebody that's just as talented as the previous person.
That's so amazing.
You know, watching some of the fights that they had in USC, like they had a brutal submission. This guy, it's called a bulldog choke. So if you have ever heard of the guillotine, that's when you grab the head from the front and choke the guy. So he's like shooting a double leg or whatever. This dude basically did what's a bulldog choke. And so that's when his body is in the opposite direction and you got a hold of his head and he strangled this dude to unconsciousness and it was brutal. And so I was like, wow, well, I don't ever want to be in that position. But you know, I usually avoid that by spending some time with the fam when there's not college football on the weekends. But definitely, like I said, that's really my pro sport is MMA. So if there's not a college football game on, I am watching some type of fight or getting ready for this show or the college football roundtable. But that's about it for me.
So as long as we're talking about it, let me put a shout out on this show to the College Football Roundtable. Rob has taken over all duties managing and running that show, and it is 1,000% better show this year than it was in previous seasons. I feel like it took us a couple of years to sort of find exactly what we wanted to do with that show, but we're rolling hot over there now. If you're not listening to the College Football Roundtable and you like college football and you wish it, sometimes we talk about other teams than Army, we are totally doing that, but this is just not that show. Speaking of this show is also brought to you by Craig Oxane. He is the vice president of residential lending for Draper and Kramer in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the biggest VA lenders in the country. He's going to give you super competitive rates, best deal he possibly can, which is important right now because mortgage rates are crazy. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but this mortgage process is super confusing. Rates are moving all over the place. Now is not the time to deal with someone that you don't actually know or trust who doesn't care about you. You know, some random call center, somebody you saw on TV, 1-800-GET-A-MORTGAGE. So like we were saying, this is how the West Point network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're helping you to get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can. We're trying as hard as we can to help you with that. Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings. That's $1,300. Get that money. If that's not a lot of money, you have serious emotional problems. Friends, $1,300, that's a lot of money. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending at Draper and Kramer. Check him out. His link is on our website. Go to askforfootball.com. You'll easily find it. Just fill out a quick form. You'll be talking to him in like 2 hours. It's totally easy. And that's the point. He takes a super confusing process and he makes it so easy. So with that, it is time at last to get into the Air Force preview. Dun, 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 dun. Rob, you want to tell us a little bit about Air Force?
Yeah, so let's talk about Air Force. Well, here's the first thing. Like, they have a better record than Army this season, but I don't think that they're performing as well as everybody expected them to do this year. I'll be interested to see where Troy Calhoun ends up at the end of the season because there has been some talk about the Nebraska gig. So I wonder if that's sitting in the back of his mind, if that's going to change, you know, the outcome of the season for him, at least as a coach. But for the players, they're 5-3 overall, and they're 2-3 in the Mountain West. They beat FCS in Northern Iowa 48-17. They beat Colorado, which is no surprise. Colorado is the basement of the basement of the basement of Pac-12. And they're not getting any better. They lost to Wyoming 17-14, which was a surprise, but Wyoming is actually a decent football program. They just ebb and flow just like everybody else. They beat Nevada 48-20, edged Navy 13-10, which I still don't understand. Like, if you've watched Navy play at all, like that game should have been as lopsided as the Nevada one. Lost to Utah State 34-27. Beat UNLV 42-17, lost to Boise State 19-14, but the game wasn't as close as the score indicates. They have not gotten over the hump in Boise State. They've lost four of the last five, or no, I'm sorry, they've lost five games to Boise State in every game that Troy Calhoun has coached since coming to Air Force. He's lost against Boise State. So there's something going on in that coaching conundrum over there. There are a couple trends worth noting. Air Force hasn't beaten an FBS team with a winning record at all this season. Their best win has come against UNLV. That was 4-4, and they're 2-2 in the Mountain West. They've also been much better at home this year. It's probably the altitude that's helping them out, but we will see. And I'll pass it over to you, Dan, to talk about the offense.
Yeah, man, this Zumi offense reminds me of the Army offense back with Ahmad Bradshaw and Darnell Wolfolk. If you can imagine Ahmad Bradshaw not being quite as dynamic a runner. So it's about 50% fullback Brad Roberts, about 40% quarterback Ezekiel Daniels, maybe 10% everybody else. I literally ran those numbers. We're going to get into that. Quarterback Ezekiel Daniels this season, 27 of 57 passing for 579 yards. That is just 47.4% completion percentage, five touchdowns, one interception, seven sacks. It's not terrible, but 47% completion percentage is not exactly getting it done either. 80 carries for 358 yards, 4.5 yards per carry. He's got four rushing touchdowns. Dude really doesn't carry the ball as much as you might think. Fullback Brad Roberts has 174 carries, 943 yards. That's 5.4 yards per carry, 13 touchdowns. That's the whole offense. So Roberts has taken 33.5% of the team's total snaps. That's at one dude, their fullback, has taken fully one third of the team's total offensive snaps, inclusive of garbage time. Daniels has taken 25.6% of the snaps, with just over half of those being runs. And together, those two guys, just those two, Roberts and Daniels, are 60% of the offensive snaps overall, inclusive of garbage time when neither one was even on the field. So, and this team has had a lot of garbage time. If you look at some of those lopsided, you know, they've emptied the benches several times this year. So I'm telling you, man, I know you're a pro wrestling fan, Rob. You'll appreciate this reference. Brad Roberts is Rob Van Dam. He's the whole effing show. I broke this down even more in the preview article. Like, bottom line, in games where Air Force has had a realistic chance to win, Roberts has averaged at least 4.7 yards per carry. But by comparison, Boise State and Wyoming both held him under 4 yards per carry. And the team were the Air Force rushed for less than 200 yards. Both those games, although they finished relatively close on the scoreboard, if you actually watch them, they were not particularly close in terms of the flow of the game. So, yeah, it's just crazy. It's all about Brad Roberts. If he gets going, Army screwed.
Yeah, Brad Roberts has been that way the entire time that he's been there. And I think I was looking at the graphic from like the Boise State highlights or whatever. And this dude has been, like you said, he is the whole offense for Air Force. I mean, if he goes down or something happens where he's out for a play, I just don't think they have the depth really to cover it.
And it's again, wild.
Ezekiel Daniels, super talented guy, but he is erratic. I mean, like, his passing is erratic. If you go back and watch the 2020 game, it was like a tale of two halves. Like, the first half, he couldn't, you know, put a football in a bucket. And then the second half, he's throwing lasers all over the field. It was ridiculous. And so watching back those two games, it's just going to be interesting to see which Air Force offense shows up and, you know, how they play. But defensively, again, this is one of those things that's kind of been weird as well. So their defense has been really good. The linebackers are solid. Three of their top four tacklers are linebackers. Guys to watch out for, you have Trey Taylor, who's at 49 tackles, 32 solo, and one interceptions. You had T.D. Blackman, who has 45 tackles, 24 solos, 3.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. These guys have the 42nd ranked rushing defense in the country, giving up 126.4 yards per carry or per game and 4.2 yards per carry. So that's not so good. They're about comparable with the Army defense and the passing defense. So they're very good on the passing defense, 164.8 yards of passing per game. And they're ninth ranked at scoring defense at 16.8 points per game. The critical stats, they have 6 sacks, 6 interceptions, 5 forced fumbles, and 6 fumble recoveries. I'm not sure how that works. I guess somebody put the ball in the turf inadvertently. This team has a +2 turnover margin. They're 49th overall in the country. I think that we know what we're getting with the Air Force defense. I think they're slightly better than usual, but they're not as good as last year. Probably not as athletic either. And then we'll roll in the special teams. This could be dangerous. And I say that just because, like, if it's a close game, then the kicking game is absolutely going to matter. And kicker Matthew Depore is 25 for 25 on extra points. And he's 10 for 11 of field goals. And his only miss is from 50 yards. So Air Force usually has two punters. Collectively, they're averaging about 44 yards a punt. Bottom line is these cats are decent in special teams, and you don't want it to come down to the kicking game. And I mentioned it on the other show, but I'll say it here as well. You know, Ross Tucker, who calls the Army games, the Army home games, said it. He's like, the biggest difference between college and the pros is the kicking game. And it's absolutely right. I don't think you see guys missing near as many kicks on average in the NFL. One, because there's fewer teams. But the other part of it is the amount of accuracy that a professional level kicker brings to the table. If you can't kick, you won't be around for long. So it definitely makes a difference in the overall outcomes of the games.
Yeah, I got to be honest. It's a shame James isn't on here. I put that kicking punting stat on there. You know, this game could very easily turn into a game of field position and Army's giving away 10 yards per punt. That's not great. That's not what you want. You know, there's definitely a path for Army to win the game. And in fact, I kind of think Army will win this game because you have to take away one guy. If the Black Knights defense can't take away one guy, like, they definitely deserve to lose. And we've seen this Army team run against teams who give up, you know, 4.2 yards per carry. Like, they've been putting up numbers on defenses like this all season. So, I get that this Air Force defense is good, and I get that they are familiar with Army's offense, but this Army offense is more dynamic than we've seen in years and years and years. And if they have to, they'll throw it all over the place too. So I'm not as worried about Army on offense and Air Force on defense, but when Army's on defense, they've just got to stop the one guy. And then I feel like they'll put plenty of stress on Air Force, or maybe Air Force will stress themselves. But if it comes down to a battle of field position and kicks, we might be in some trouble.
Yeah. Well, one thing I will say, it's like, all right, at the beginning of the season, it's pretty easy to G up the Army defense. Like, if you're trying to put some G2 against them, hey, stop Tyler and contain Robinson. But if you look at the last 2 weeks of success that Army's had, look at the ball distribution. There's playmakers all over the field, you know, and not to say that you want to see a player get hurt, but when you see guys get injured and the contribution has been so tremendous from the other players on the team, like, hey, great. You know, I think that's something that we didn't account for, is the depth at the slot back position. I mean, we always talk about the depth in the B back positions and how, you know, some of the fullbacks are coming up. Some of the younger guys are showing up. And of course, Jacoby Buchanan being the mainstay in the backfield. But as you're watching the offense, you're seeing all these other players like show up and play. A'shaun Marshall has looked great.
He's looked amazing. Yeah, that's true.
And so when you look at the talent that's all over the field, like, you had two back-to-back games where 5+ players touched the ball, you know, and that is including bringing in, you know, T2 off the bench to rep in some plays as well. And then you see, you know, the quarterback of the future, like, everybody that touches the ball is breaking 10, 15, 20 yards. And how do you defend against how do you scheme around a offense with that many playmakers? I mean, it makes it difficult. So, like, if Air Force was going into the initial set that we had with, you know, T2 or Ballard going in as a quarterback, I mean, you really didn't have to do that much work, you know, to stop the quarterback play. And then you really didn't have to do too much work. Like, look, you've got the pitch man. Wherever 21 goes, you follow him. You know, so you could turn that into to assignment game. But now as a defender, it's like, well, crap, man, either one of these split backs can take it. They can run a counter option. They can run a quarterback counter now. They're running fullback dives. They're running trap plays. Like, who do I defend? So now you're really getting into the triple option in its purest form, because anybody that is in the backfield can touch the ball. And so that expands the offense tremendously.
So this is a tease for the other show, but I found myself, as I was watching that Tennessee game, and, you know, they were being disciplined about the way that they substituted, and they would take a guy, like, they would bring in two running backs, and they would put one of them, split him wide out to the field side, and have the other guy, you know, in the pistol there with the Tennessee quarterback, I forget his name,
Hendon Hooker.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, they just run like read option, whatever, 2, 3, 4 times until the guy got tired. And then they'd rotate without substituting. They'd rotate that running back out to the far side of the field, bring the other guy and run with him. And they put a whooping on Kentucky's defense doing that. They just didn't let them sub. I thought those dudes were going to start barfing all over the place. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. And I found myself wondering, you know, what would happen if we brought in Jacoby Buchanan and Tyson Riley at the same time and just put Tyson Riley out wide. You know, I dare you not to cover him. And, and you know, run the ball 3 times with Buchanan and then turn around and bring in Riley, who is a faster player. Like, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many possibilities, and that's what makes it so difficult now, because again, I think, you know, earlier in the season, there was, I won't say a quarterback controversy, but I think it's one of those things, like when you see Jamel Jones's consistent play, that also is a changeup.
Yeah,
because if you look at him as a quarterback, not to say that, you know, the other guys are not good at ball distribution, but Jones has done a better job at it. And I'm not going to say that, you know, it is or it isn't, because I don't know the plays that are being called. But when you look at what's going on, like the offense with Jamel Jones today, I won't say it's better. I will just say they have a lot more options. It's more of a true triple option team now than they were a double option or, you know, a design QB run team. You know, so it brings it, because like, again, we've had 2 weeks of multiple guys touching the ball, and look at the offensive results. And so that makes it very, very hard to scheme against. Like if I'm, you know, there's a couple extra gray hairs on the defensive coordinator for Air Force right now, because there's a lot more talent touching the football. It's not that they aren't there. It's just like we're using them now. And so I think that puts them in a bad spot.
I feel like Brent Davis gets a little seduced by Tyrell Robinson's speed. Like when he's on, when Robinson is on the field, Brent Davis wants to try to call every play to him just to break him loose for a long yardage play, which I understand, but it makes Army a little predictable. And I thought that cost them the game against Navy last year. And whereas, and it's the same with T2, like T2 also has that kind of breakaway speed. So he wants to run like the quarterback off tackle. And I feel like he just gets a little bit into his own head with like, oh, I've got these two great, really fast dudes. Whereas if you put Jamel Jones and Jacoby Buchanan and Ijon Marshall on the field at the same time, it's like these dudes are all good players, but none of them is massively better than the other one. So all of a sudden the offensive distribution is just, you know, distributed. Like the ball's just going wherever.
Yeah, I truly think that the offense is better. And I'm not saying it's better because of talent. I think it's just better because of execution, right? If that makes any sense.
I know that
executing better.
Yeah, I know that. You know what? I'll leave that one alone. But yes, I know that they're definitely tend to call more design quarterback runs with T2 in the game. Whereas, you know, it, just because they like the way that he cuts up field versus some of the other quarterbacks, you know, they try to use their strengths. But if you say, well, what is Jamel Jones' strength? Well, you know, I don't know what he's better at than any of the other guys. But the flip side of that is, well, okay, let's let him do everything, which is what we've seen.
Yeah, he's distributing the ball well. And in college, again, it goes back to in college, you just want to get the ball into the hands of the playmakers, whomever they are, and it doesn't matter, right? And I think that's right now, you know, we had an embarrassment of riches in the quarterback room and the B-back room last year. This year we had the same kind of benefit with quarterbacks, but when you look at the play that they have, you're like, man, like, holy moly, these dudes – are distributing the ball well. And I think that in and of itself makes the offense more dangerous because at any given time, I have 2 slot backs now that have proven that they can run the ball. I have 2 fullbacks now that have proven that can run the ball. And I have, count them, 4 quarterbacks that if I put any one of those 4 guys in the game, they can break one for 40 or 50 yards and score a touchdown. So if you're the defensive coordinator, you're like, okay, who's going to show up on Saturday? And how do I scheme against it? Or do I just say, hey, I got to teach fundamentals and coach the fundamentals rather than playing against a package against the offense that's presented to me? And with 4 quarterbacks that can play, who's going to start, you know, like, yeah, there may be announcements in media or whatever. So that kind of helps hone in on what you're thinking. But at the end of the day, you know, any one of those guys can start on Saturday. And that's four super talented athletes that can cause you a problem.
All right. So let's move on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Rob, since I am hosting this week, why don't you go first?
All right. So, hey, you heard this one before, and I'm going to stick with it again. Army gets 2.5 stacks this week.
I'm going to go fact on that one. I think, and Andre Carter II has got to show up big for this game. I think he will. You know, we haven't seen him on the field in a couple weeks. Honestly, think one of the biggest factors going into this game is just the fact that Army, the team itself, is getting healthier, which they started off. They were definitely not healthy. Yeah. We never really talk about injuries and inside information that we get there just because I feel like these aren't public figures. But this team was nicked up, banged up bad at the beginning of the season. And I think that contributed to some of the losses. And they are in much, much, much better shape now. And I don't think I think that's going to show up. Like I just think this is going to be the best version of the Army team that we're going to see on the field all season this Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I'm going to say fact. Like, I will tell you, I'm super, super impressed with the defensive line. We'll have to deep dive Kabina Bonsu's stats and see, like, if he's got 5-plus tackles and a sack, then, you know, what's the outcome of the game. But he's legitimately leading on the defensive line now, you know. And he's not the same player as Nolan Cockrell, but he brings the same kind of intensity. That's probably the easiest way to say it. And I think they're going to get back there. They're going to disrupt Zeke Daniels because, again, he's not a consistent passer, but when he drops back, he's always vulnerable, whether he's either going to overthrow or throw a pick or get sacked. I mean, that's kind of what happens. He doesn't throw incompletions. He gets sacks or interceptions. And so I think that's one of the things that is going to happen this season. And, again, Leo Lowen, Manchild, like, I'm digging this kid. I think he plays great football, and he's coming into his own. And I think between him being so strong in the middle the past couple of games, if they scheme to get to stop him, because that, hey, how do I get Brad Roberts going? I've got to run it up the gut and attack one of the strongest parts of the defense, right? And so that allows a guy like Andre Carter to get loose on the outside. So they have to scheme to protect from Lowen, and then Andre Carter gets loose. So I think there's, you know, a great opportunity to show some team defense and get a couple sacks this week.
My fact or fiction is Army holds Brad Roberts to less than 4.5 yards per carry. And I know you had a stat on this, so why don't you remind us what that was?
Oh, his stat, the teams that won held him under 4 yards per carry on average.
Didn't you look up what we held him to the last two years?
No, I did not. I just watched the games. But okay. I legitimately think they'll shut him down.
Yeah, anyway.
So I'm going to say fact on that one.
Because, well, then that's fact agreement again, too. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I generally think this is probably going to be the best defensive performance. One, because it's like, hey, look, it's like, you know, playing football in the backyard with your little brother because, the playbook pretty well. I mean, it's not a big variation. It's like you said, it's closer to probably the 2016-2017 offense that we had.
Yeah.
But it's not so unfamiliar that guys will be confused or missing assignments. I think it'll be pretty straightforward. My bottom line is I think we're probably going to see one of the better defensive performances. And, you know, the bend but don't break passing defense is going to be just good enough against Zeke Daniels because he's not very accurate.
Yeah.
And honestly, if Air Force wins this game, they're going to have to beat them using their arms and not their legs.
They can afford to give up, you know, plenty of those quick outs. Like, they can give that up all game. They're not going to lose on quick outs. And if they do, like, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, but that would really surprise me if a 47% passer comes in there and throws enough 10-yard outs that they actually have a chance to win. Like, the statistics of that happening are just not very favorable.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, do you like Army football, but hey, social media, man, who doesn't? Social media is terrible. You got a new owner over there on Twitter. Not sure how that's going to go yet. Facebook is, you know, I don't even know what to tell you. So get on our mailing list. Go to astrofootball.com/subscribe. We send out one email per week with that week's content. It helps us keep up with you. It's just too easy. Like, give us a chance to just tell you what we did that week. And, you know, you can follow us on social media. That's great. We hope that you do. We hope that you like our content. But just, you know, get on our mailing list. we'll make sure that you get a chance to see everything that we do. Like what you like, don't like what you don't like. Like, that's fine. It's all we can ask. So, Rob, you got a favorite thing? I got two if you don't.
Well, my favorite thing is my dog is barking in the background, if you don't hear that. But the other thing is, you know, really, really quick, going back to the social media thing. So it looks like Twitter is going to start charging you $28 per month for your blue check. So go on and bust open those pocketbooks in a tight financial economy. But, hey, that's to be expected.
Looking for somebody to sponsor our blue check.
Yeah, for sure. I think the reality of it is like, hey, guys, like, look, if you thought that Elon Musk going to Twitter was going to be like this big revolutionary breakthrough for free speech, it may be, possibly. But you also got to think this guy is a multi-billionaire. So he's going to make money off of it.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind as you're trolling people on their social media websites. But Dan, I hear you have two favorite things.
Yeah. So Army Rugby beat the hell out of Air Force this past week, 53-8. That is a beating. The number one rugby team continues to be number one. And Army Swimming beat Boston College this week. The men won 195-104, which is not a close meet. The women won 151.5-148.5. For the men, this was their second Power 5 win of the season. That is unbelievable. So they've taken down South Carolina and now Boston College. No idea what's going to happen at the Army-Navy swim meet, but this men's team is really, really good. It's got to be the best team we've had in decades and decades. Like, definitely, probably since before my time. So I am excited for the Army swim team. That is awesome.
Yeah, I think this is going to be – it's a good season. I think there's a lot of great competition, and I'm glad to see that everybody's kind of loosening up after – COVID and everything else.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy. I mean, it changed a lot of people's seasons, and not for the better. You know, and I get it. Again, I'm all for player safety, but at the end of the day, I think competition is really what stokes it, and being able to see both a men and women's team get, you know, some pretty big wins, that's pretty huge. And then of course the rugby team is destroying people, which is legit. And hey, look, you know, Army sports and a lot of off-season stuff, but speaking of the social media things, like, if you guys want us to cover something in particular in the off season, I think you guys should let us know. We definitely want to dive into the Army sports and kind of continue to give you coverage as we move on in the middle of the season or the end of the season. But really appreciate everybody tuning in to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. And I'll pass it back to Dan to close us out.
Hey, I just got one thing to say. Go Army, beat Air Force.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to FireBarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, FireBarn.com to learn more, or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.